Great. I wanted to tell you to do something tonight that I very rarely will tell you to do at the beginning of a message. Close your Bibles. It's usually the opposite. Open them. Tonight, you may hear one of the shortest messages I ever preach. I might be done in 5 minutes. It's dependent upon you. Because tonight's message is completely different than anything I think I've ever done before. It is in the form of a test. A test of 4 questions. Depending on how well you answer the questions will determine whether I need to expound little or long. So we'll see how you do. Question number 1. Now let me give you a little bit of background just to refresh your memory. We've been studying for a couple months now the Old Testament book of Amos. Amos prophesied somewhere around 750 B.C., give or take a few years in there. In 721, the judgment of God fell upon the northern kingdom of Israel, to whom Amos had been prophesying. He was a Judean from the southern part of the kingdom, prophesying to the northern. And they didn't particularly like his prophecy. It was a prophecy of judgment. The question that big question that I want to ask tonight is, will history repeat itself? And we'll see. We'll see. Question number 1. What technique did Amos use to gain Israel's attention in the first chapter and a half of his prophecy? Gary? Wrong. But hold on to that answer. Yep, let's close your Bible. See? I might not be done in 5 minutes. What technique did he use to gain Israel's attention? Ah, there you go. And of course, they liked that. They wanted to hear about God's judgment upon those ungodly sinners. God's word was always meant for somebody else. But when we repeat, or we will repeat history when we think that God won't judge us, when we act just like the world. He gained their attention by saying, here's this prophecy on the Edomites and the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the other people around them. And they're going, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. You go get them, God. And they're hanging on every word. And he said, now you guys are doing the same thing. Let me ask you another question, not part of the quiz. How many times have you heard the word of God preached and you immediately thought of somebody else that it applied to? That's a tendency we all have, when really what we should be doing is asking ourselves, how does this apply to me? It's very easy to see the faults in others. They're right there in front of us. It's very difficult to recognize and admit we oftentimes have the very same ones. And God hates them just as much in us as he does in other people. Well, you did pretty well on question number 1. Question number 2, remember, there's only 4 questions, so we're 25% done already. Gary, what phrase did Amos use concerning the certainty of God's judgment? Well, you're close. For 3 transgressions of a nation and for 4. And the idea was that God had been long-suffering while they committed certain sins. But at the 4th point, they stepped over the line. They were giving chance for repentance and changing their lives and their ways. But now, because they refused to do so, God was bringing judgment. We will repeat history when we mistake God's long-suffering for leniency. We commit a sin, and a lightning bolt doesn't come out of heaven and strike us right on the spot. And we say, well, God must not really care. There must not be any consequence to my sin, so I can do it again. oh, I know God doesn't want me to do it. I know I really shouldn't do it. But hey, if God's not going to do anything about it, if I feel like it, if it satisfies me, why not? And we do it a second time, and we do it a third time, and the Spirit of God convicts our hearts. And finally, God says, my patience has run out. History will repeat itself. What happened to the nation of Israel and to the Moabites and the Ammonites and all the otherites will happen to you and I. Question number three, we might make 5 minutes yet. What two sins primarily did Amos speak against the nation of Israel? What two sins did they commit? The primary two sins did they commit? Idolatry is one. They mixed idolatry in with the pure worship of God. Mistreating the poor is the other. Very good. It was the rich taking advantage of the poor. Someone call 911. Lynn's having a heart attack. God is not against people acquiring riches. God does not ordain us to be rich as some people teach today, but God is not against his people having riches and having riches in abundance. He does care, though, how we acquire those things. And the rich were taking advantage of people. As some of you know, Carol and I have been looking for a little while for property or a house nearer to the church that we might move a little closer and save on some gas running back and forth. And now that the kids are just about all out of the house, we don't need quite as big as a house as we have now. And if the right thing, the perfect thing would open up, we'd love to move over here. Well, I was thinking about if that'd be the case, we'd have to put our house up on the market. I have to then sell my house. Do I want to be honest with people who come through and they would ask, well, what condition is this in or what condition is that in? What would be the answers that I would answer to their questions that they would ask concerning the house? Well, I can take them across. I can answer just enough to make it sound good but not give them the full truth. Or do I tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Do I act like my Lord and Savior, or do I act like a salesman? Do I want to take advantage of people for my gain? And then secondly, do I want to mix my religion with the ways of the world, which go hand in hand, by the way? And that's what they were doing. Oftentimes, we feel that a little bit of religious service gives us credit to act like the rest of the world for the rest of the week. Oftentimes it's said of Roman Catholics that they go to Mass on Sunday or on Saturday evenings so that they can sleep in on Sunday and act like the world the rest of the week and live however they want. Well, you may criticize Roman Catholics for doing that, but the fact of the matter is all of us do that at times. And history will repeat itself when we don't take care of the preaching and respond in repentance like the nation of Israel didn't respond. Last question. Is Amos simply a prophecy fulfilled in the past? Now you got a 50-50 shot on that one. It's either yes or no. Well, you're all right. The law of double fulfillment. Yes. The word simply in there is the key word. It is a prophecy that was fulfilled. Amos prophesied of a coming judgment, 721. The kingdom of Assyria came down, overran the nation, and God judged the nation of Israel because of its sins. But in Amos, in the very last chapter, Verse 8, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. God said, my judgment is coming. It's going to be quite severe, but I will save a remnant of people. And he did. There was a remnant of people that came back under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. The walls to the city were rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt. And the Lord Jesus came to the rebuilt temple. And guess what they did with him? They rejected him the same way they rejected Amos. And God put aside temporarily the kingdom of Israel from being used by him to reach the world with the gospel. There is coming another judgment upon the nation of Israel for its rejection of the greatest prophet who ever came to earth, God's Son. History has repeated, or will repeat itself. Someone has said, rightly so, the only thing we have learned from history is that we have not learned from history. Will history repeat itself? Well, yes, we will if we don't learn from it. What God did to the nation of Israel, God can and will do to the church if the church doesn't act responsively, if the church doesn't worship rightly, if the Christians don't live righteously, if we don't deal with sin in our lives, if we mistake the long-suffering of God for leniency. God will act in a judgmental manner. The gates of hell shall never destroy his church. But there will come a time when God will say to the church, that's it, your work here on earth is done. And it'll be raptured. We look for the rapture as a good thing, and it is. To those who know Christ, will be caught up. But could it be also that the rapture of the church is God's declaration that the church is no longer doing its job and it's time to take it out of the earth? We need to learn from history. God is God, whether it be Old Testament times, New Testament times, tribulation times, or millennial kingdom times. He will always be the same. He will always act the same. We need to abide and respond to the preaching of Amos so that God does not judge you and I. Let's pray. Father, tonight, a quick little summary maybe. And I'm thankful that as the questions went forth, the answers came quickly. For it means we've heard the Word of God. We've stored it in our minds and hopefully in our hearts. We've responded to the Word, and this point of history will not repeat itself in our lives as it did in the nation of Israel. Father, we do pray that we'll learn lessons and apply them to our lives, that we might be used of you effectively to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be instruments of spreading your glory and showing forth your goodness to the world around us. Father, dismiss us tonight with your blessing. I know there's an opportunity for fellowship that's coming now. We ask your blessing upon that. And as we leave these doors tonight, use us in a way that's mighty to reaching souls for eternity's sake. We'll praise you for all that we do, that you do for us as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.